Our family founded Emmanuel back in 2007. And one of the things I kept telling my girls, who were 4 and 2 at the time, over and over and over, is that we're building something special. I kept telling them that because we were leaving something special. It was the only church they'd ever known. It was this multi-campus megachurch that had incredible grounds, incredible facilities. We had a vibrant, thriving service. We had productions that they absolutely loved to be part of. And then we had this incredible youth ministry. And I've got these very vivid memories of watching Emma as this little kid just sitting up at these evening sessions where we had the skits and just sitting up with those eyes of wonder, just watching those things. Well, we were taking them away from all that. We're taking away from all that to begin building something new that we believed that God was asking us to build.
And meanwhile, as that once 4-year-old and as that girl who's sitting in the front row of these sessions and watching these skits play out, "we're building something special" quickly became my least favorite phrase in the English language.
You should have seen the eye rolls.
Oh, many, many eye rolls were had because there was so much I didn't understand. I didn't have the experiences you had in a giant church. I didn't realize the purpose behind the work that it took to build Emmanuel, and I didn't see the vision my parents had. Truly, it took until late high school when I confirmed my faith and into college when God put that vision for Emmanuel in my heart too and brought me to serve in ECC Teen with our middle schoolers. And now, this year as middle school lead, I get to experience that firsthand in moments like this one from our fall retreat. Take a look.
Hey everybody, it is Sunday morning up at our fall retreat, and I just want to say thank you for being all in on all of our youth and our teens. It is because of you and your gifts that we are able to do retreats like these with all of these kids. We having a good time? We having a good time again?
So now imagine that room you just saw, who had just had a weekend full of learning that God has a plan and a purpose for their life that is worth pursuing, shouting, "We're doing a good work. We can't come down," with all of the passion in their little hearts that they could yell. And that's just one moment in a year filled with moments worth remembering. If you're taking notes, we invite you to write this down. God is building something special, and we can't come down. Our church family is connecting and growing. Mm-hmm. We have Bible studies, we have small churches, meals were hosted throughout the year for young adults. We had our outdoor services in August at the Shoreview Pavilion, where we had snacks and sunshine and spontaneous melodramas, the three S's that make any outdoor service awesome. We had our blessing service for the third annual year in a row. It was so special. At 10:30, when we were blessing people during the last hour, song, the people just kept coming up, and the worship team just kept playing. It kept going and going and going. Right after that, we had pancakes at the pavilion. We had our festival, Emmanuel, which we're going to talk about more later. Then we had our fall kickoff party. We had bouncy inflatables, jumpy trampolines, food trucks, and we celebrated the new year of programming in Kids Church. So many of us who have grown up in Kids Church at Emmanuel are now turning right around to serve. I talked to so many of our sixth graders who were so excited because this is the first year where they were able to serve in kids ministry. In Kids Church, I've been watching our nervous kids get excited about church and about playing there by the end of 2025. We had Camp ECC again this summer. It's our epic summer-long event, which brings the best of camp in worship, in crafts, in more melodramas, in a grape costume, which was very needed and very much loved. They got to see zoo animals up close and personal and pet a little alligator safely. We had park playgroups throughout the year. We had our fall carnival here at the studio where we're using the expansion already. And right here in this room, we have ECC Teen meeting on Wednesday nights. I'm most familiar with middle school as the lead, so I can speak to them the most. But it's been an amazing year. This is the first year of Emmanuel history where we have more small groups in middle school than there are grades. we are growing. Our yep. kids are multiplying, and they are ready to be here to learn about the Lord. I'm witnessing kids storming the front so they can be in the front row mm-hmm. and listen every single week. And they listen, too, with mm-hmm. eagerness and respect. They're not just all over the place. We celebrate Bibles being brought in to teen with our middle schoolers with an
ice
cream party.
This is new this year. This is really cool.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It's so cool. 200 Bibles and pocket crosses that we handed out at the retreats that they keep in their pockets mm-hmm. were brought to youth group since September. Just since September, 200 Bibles being brought to youth group. Kids are excited and ready to learn about Jesus. They're making real friendships here that are lasting, and they are being celebrated for mm-hmm. who they are. And that's not all. Our high school had an awesome year. Three seniors who graduated in May turned right back mm-hmm. around to us and said, can I serve? Where mm-hmm. can I serve? How can I serve? And so they're now plugged in leading our sixth graders. Chase started a Bible study this summer, mm-hmm. which is continuing on by very popular demand. And that's been so good. Again, these students are making real friends to talk about real things mm-hmm. with. And most of our high school students are serving on teams throughout yeah, Emmanuel. And
so true.
Every single team that we have, there's at least one high schooler there. In tech, in kids, in teen, back in middle school, in juntos, in cameras, in worship, and more. We had a youth band start brand new this year, where they're able to practice their gifts and their talents to serve on worship teams and lead worship at team. They're growing deeper in relationship with each other there too. And now, way back in January, we had our Capture the Chickens event with Salem Covenant. And it's so amazing to partner with them. I've had so many conversations with Shelly where we're saying, we can't do this without you. And they're saying, we can't do this without you.
We have to bring the Nerf arrows when we do this live.
Oh, but yeah. Definitely.
Note to self.
About 80 yeah. middle schoolers were there in all-out battle for rubber chickens and glory. T-shirts were made. All black outfits were worn. Titles were defended. And our high schoolers came to serve. Our college students came back from all over the place to serve and coming back to help. And we are leveling up for this year. It is going to be amazing.
So cool. Well, in 2025, we did a lot of things, all the things she's talking about. And then what we also did is we took some really big steps forward in our capacity to care for people and then also take them deeper. We added a new care coordinator. Tessa has been an awesome addition to our team, who just a few weeks ago, she got up in front. She said, okay, we've been talking with the care team. Here are all of the things that we are able to do. Which of these will be most helpful for you right now so we can focus on the things that matter most? We have a discipleship design team that we commissioned back in 2024. Now they've transitioned. They had been doing a lot of seeking and processing feedback. Now they're already offering a Practicing the Way course, and they're helping us develop a comprehensive discipleship framework for our church. In 2024, we also commissioned a brand new visioneering team that was tasked with developing a strategy to help us develop next level leaders. Together, we framed out a big picture framework for a 3-part hiring process, a 3-month onboarding process, a 3-year development plan for the first 3 years, and then a 3-part offboarding process. Now, it's going to take years to build this out, but now we have the template. Now we've got the framework. One more example of a team that demonstrated their love and commitment to the Emmanuel family is our worship team. I cannot say enough about the worship and tech teams this year. Yeah. They started in January with a team that had already been stretched thin the year before, and now they multiplied because of with Juntos. They multiplied just to help us launch these new bilingual services.
Incredible.
And that's not all. They stepped up to help us elevate our teen retreats. We had people from our worship band there and worship leaders there on retreats. And that's not all. They started that new thing that Emma was talking about for the teen, developing teen worship leaders. We now, on any given Sunday, we've got 3, 4 or more teenagers helping out between Juntos and our English services. And that's not all. We've been having conversations about how are we going to take now our worship ministry to new levels of our worship leaders really leading us in authentic worship that's heartfelt and more increasing collaboration with our teaching team, caring for one another, all kinds of things. All this to say, the steps that we're taking now in areas like this that are often behind the scenes. We're building our care and community life teams, discipleship framework, leadership development investments, worship arts, EC kids teens. We're doing things right now that are not going to just make us stronger in 2026. These are things that are going to make a difference for literally future generations.
Yeah, and a part of that is we've added some much needed space to Emmanuel. The suite adjacent to the studio opened up just as we were outgrowing the space that we had here. And it's still unfinished over there, but it's already being used so much throughout the week for Juntos groups and Bible studies, for youth group and kids events, and so much more. We are so, so grateful. So thank you for your generosity and for your faith in us on that.
Yeah. I remember being in other settings over the years and wrestling with the question, if our church ceased to exist, how big of a hole would it actually leave? And one of the things I can say with more conviction than ever before in my life is that it would be an enormous, enormous hole. Right now, we can point to so many specific things that are not just being duplicated around us. In our new members course, our Explore members course, we talk about how Emmanuel was God's idea, and now with each passing year, we can see he had specific things that he wanted to accomplish in and through a new church. Well, one of them is our approach to Sunday services. It's surprisingly unique. We are intentionally intergenerational, biblically anchored, but we want to have that real life relevance. We're often referencing how science is catching up with Scripture. This is now becoming one of the few places you can have a disagreement, a conversation where people don't see things the same, but you can have a productive, healthy conversation with people that disagree with you. We've got a church that's accessible to those who've never been to church before, all the way up to people that they've got masters in theology, advanced degrees. We take deeper dives into the book of the Bible, sometimes going 12 weeks or more on a single book. We sync up our series with the seasons, fall, Advent, winter, Lent, summer. And we're giving people language for things like overcorrecting, which is really helpful language I have, or frameworks like grace and truth. And here's a thing that really strikes me as I'm looking back over the last few years. We've been really working hard at not just saying, here's how you can be an individual who is living a more God-honoring life. So much of what we do with our teaching series is about how do we do a better job together of honoring God and the vision that Jesus of Nazareth cast for his church. And remember, we're doing a lot of this right in a community center.
Yeah, it's so, so cool. Another place where there would be a huge hole without Emmanuel is the amount of people who are saying yes to Jesus and making that proclamation. If our church ceased to exist, we'd have a massive hole in this area just from the year 2025 alone.
So true.
We had so many people saying yes. We had baptisms and dedications at the Shoreview Community Center of babies. Yay! We had, at this studio right here in this room, we had Addie Brandt as our confirmand this year when she was graduating. Mm-hmm. We had baptisms right back in the room in the dock. We had an incredible outdoor baptism event at Lake Joanna. It was like the Book of Acts playing out before our eyes. It was so special. All ages were represented, literally from infants to retired folks. We had families, entire families being baptized. We had teens. We had adults. We had a huge group of our friends from Juntos. This was our first outdoor baptism event where we had translators present. It was so beautiful. A man was baptized this year who was delivered from an evil spirit.
Right down at Turtle Lake. Yeah.
Right down at Turtle Lake, along with his kids, his sister, his sister's kids, and his sister's fiance. So in 2026, we want to encourage you to spend time at the I Said Yes wall in the studio. Look at what God is doing. Look every week as it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. There are people on there from all walks of life with all kinds of stories, now in English and in Spanish up there. And many of those stories are coming from our young people and coming from our retreats.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's another area, speaking of young people, another area where there'd be a big hole if we didn't exist. It's a ministry to our fourth and fifth graders. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful for Maria and her team. We call it Bridge 45, and we're just getting started with this framework, but it's already really moving forward. Bridge 45 is exactly what it sounds like. It's taking fourth and fifth grade students, and we're helping them to bridge. We're helping them to bridge from kids' church into big church by having them come for the first part of the service, then go to breakout, except on Communion Sundays, they stay for the whole thing. We're helping them to bridge into the middle school years by offering an elevated experience for their Sunday morning, but then also having their own track on middle school retreats. Then speaking of those youth retreats, we can't speak enough of that. This is another example of a place, there'd be a huge hole. There'd be a huge hole if we didn't exist. I can't think of anybody right now who's doing what we're doing at the level that we're doing it. We provide these immersive, memorable themes, like last winter, our Bridge 45 and middle schoolers came in, and they were learning about spiritual warfare. Well, they walked into this room where on one side you've got the spy headquarters. You can just see it. It's all like built out. And then on the other side, you've got that evil layer of the evil mastermind. And then this fall, they came in learning about the plans that God has for them and how they are worth pursuing and protecting. They learned that in this epic setting where you've got on one side, you got the hero's camp there with campfires and tents and the whole bit. On the other side, you got a 7-foot dragon and all these orcs and all these things. Every year, we're able to take them deeper into worship. Every year, we're able to elevate these games. And in 2025, last year, we brought 8 buses, plus vans, plus cars, of leaders and teens up to camp. 8 buses.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And when people ask, is it worth it? Is it really making a difference? We tell them, just look at the wall. Mm-hmm. Look at that I said yes wall. There's nothing that we're doing right now that is it's leading to more people saying yes to Jesus as Savior and Lord.
Our partnership with Emmanuel Children's Home in Juarez, Mexico has also continued to flourish this year. We had a March trip this year where we had one of our teens go down. We had one of our college students fly down there. We had more adults going to serve too. We have 2 summer trips this year. We had our all ages trip where ECC families got to experience the home together, a family with really littles and a family with middle school and high school students. It was so, so special and more. And then in the teen week, we had an amazing group of students.
So cool.
Again, I'm able to speak to this one more because I was there, but during our week, we treated it like summer camp for those kids at the home. We gave them wristbands that they wore with pride throughout the week. And so they got teams and they got to make super unique crafts and they got to go and play games. They got to play SWAT and soccer. And while they were playing outdoor soccer, they had these fans that were hooked up to ice cold water that they just stood in front of and basked in. And they got to pick out their very own bottle of Gatorade in whatever flavor they wanted, and they were holding those things like they were the biggest treasure in the world. At the end of our first wristband day, now that we've started to call them, a few of us went up to say hi to the girls, and Estrella, one of the little girls at the home, she came up to me, she's one of my buddies, and she asked me, are we having another wristband day tomorrow? Before we even had that language, do we get another one tomorrow? It was such a blessing to those kids to have special days created just for them, to know that they were loved and they were cared for by people who didn't speak the same language, by people who have the same heart for Jesus that they have. And special bonds were formed in that week, bonds like I've truly never seen before. My sponsor asked if she could move into my apartment with me and Sydney.
True story.
And in my 20 or so years of going down there, I have never seen a more tearful goodbye. There was wailing in the room from all parties involved. Kids had to be physically restrained and held back so we could leave that night. And when we did leave, they were throwing gifts and pictures out the window so that we could catch them and say goodbye. And they were waving. And when we got back, our teens were resolved to come back again. They knew. They were like, this is something that is so important and deserving of my time. And I'm so glad this bond is continuing because this summer we were the only group to go down.
Yeah.
Our all ages trip and our teen trip. We were the only ones to be making it. We've been the only ones, to my understanding, who have come back since COVID. So this really matters. We have between 80 and 100 sponsors at Emmanuel. 80 to 100 families and people are sponsoring children. So if you are a sponsor, if you are going on these trips, from someone who loves these kids so much, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for what you're doing. You are doing the Lord's work. You are doing good, good work.
Well, this has been just a curated snapshot of the types of things that God was doing this year. It's incredible. Let me just quickly give you one more, and we saved this one to last because this is remarkable. The last ministry that we want to highlight in the category of if Emmanuel didn't exist, there would be a really big hole, that's Juntos.
Yep.
Juntos. We knew the Bourbonos. We knew right away that they were exceptional from the start, but the impact that they and the team that they've been building is having is so God-honoring. It is so inspiring. In just 1 year's time, so just over the course of this year, we launched monthly services and then transitioned to weekly services. They have a group that meets in here almost every Friday for this big old gathering. They've got these super cool events like the Festival Emmanuel. We had 12 different nations represented on their first Sunday of weekly services. Mm-hmm. We have people who are attending church for the first time. We have people that are getting their first Bibles. We have people that are saying yes to Jesus for the first time. We have people that are being baptized, lots of people being baptized. And we have people that are becoming members from our Juntos community. Mm-hmm. We've already sent a team, a vision trip to Ecuador from that team. And the relationships that are being formed, it is more than just friendship. It really is becoming family. It really is. And in just 1 year, I'll add this. In just 1 year, I think we've had more hugs in this last year than probably in the first 17 of our whole church. Well, we'll circle back to Juntos in the looking ahead section, but I could not mention them as we're thinking about these are things that if Emmanuel didn't exist, there'd be a big old hole. All right, well, there's certainly more that could be said of the things that God did in 2025, but before we look ahead to 2026, I want to point out something that Emma pointed to me. She said, do you realize this year we turned 18? We turned 18. We're entering into young adulthood right now.
Let's go.
We are entering young adulthood. So we've learned a lot, but now we're ready to take some big steps forward. We're going to sing a song right now, and after that, we're going to come back. We'll talk about what's ahead. All right, I cannot sit down for this next segment we're going to do right now. There is one section of scripture that keeps coming to mind over and over and over again as I look back on 2025 and ahead to 2026. It's Nehemiah 6. When we consider the context of this section of scripture, there is so much that we can learn, so much we can apply for such a time as this. Nehemiah. He was moved to tears about the broken world of his day, just like so many of us are moved to tears today. Nehemiah believed God's people should be leading the way, just like so many of us believe today. Nehemiah prayed, and God gave Nehemiah a plan. Nehemiah gathered a team, and he got to work. And as soon as he did, he discovered something that is true. It has been true. It will always be true. If you're taking notes, you might want to write this one down. Our mission will always face opposition. Let me say that again. Our mission will always face opposition. If you're content to play church, it's a different story. You're content to play church. If you approach Christianity as a consumer, you're going to find that road, it is wide, it is well paved, and it is well traveled. But if you set out to authentically follow Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus himself promised, we're going to have opposition. That opposition is going to come from within. It's going to take the fear. It's going to take the form, fear and doubt. The opposition is going to take the form of division within the family of faith. And our opposition is going to come from outsiders, from those who benefit from the brokenness that we're trying to fix. Nehemiah, he faced all of that. And as soon as he began his good work, he had the internal frustrations, division among the people, powerful enemies. They're all coming at him, all of them. They threatened him. They pressured Nehemiah. Come down from the walls that he was building. And if you have your Bible with you, please open with me to Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 3 through 4. If you were at our middle school camp, you know where we're going with this. Here's what it says. Here is how Nehemiah responded when those voices wanted to pull him down. I sent messengers to them with this reply, I am carrying on a great project. I cannot go down. Why should I stop the work and leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them that same answer. And what was that answer? I'm doing a great work. Why should I come down to you? They tried again and again. They tried to frighten him. They tried to frighten him, quote, so that his hands would be too weak for the work. You know what Nehemiah said? Did then? He said, okay. They're praying that my hands are going to get weak. Then I'm going to pray that God's going to strengthen my hands. That's what I'm going to do. My brothers and sisters, Emmanuel is God's idea. It was his idea. And God has plans for us that are worth pursuing and protecting. And this is where it's going to get tough. This is where it's going to get tough. It would be a lot easier to look for those off ramps to that wide road that's well paved and well traveled. It'd be a lot easier to do that. But that's the wide road that Jesus warned us about. God is building something special, and we can't come down. At Emmanuel, we made a commitment. We're not going to duck the hard stuff. And in our 2026 teaching series, you're going to see that reflected. We're going to start out with a series called Discipleship in Real Life. And I love the graphic that Mike came up for this, or come up with for this series. So you know those pictures when they usually are, they're talking about like quiet times and stuff, and you got this picture-perfect place where it's a picture-perfect couch or chair, picture-perfect table, the Bible's there open, the cup of coffee's there, lighting's perfect, everything's perfect. Do you know what our graphic looks like for this series? Our graphic's got that coffee cup. It is just spilled coffee everywhere because we want to have a real conversation about discipleship in the real world. So that's the next series that we're doing right after, starting next week. This spring and summer, you know what we're going to do? We're going to dig into the prophets. We're going to spend like 12 weeks or more digging into the prophets, where you're going to find some of the hardest words you're going to find anywhere in all of Scripture. And so many of those hard words are directed at behaviors that it's really easy to fall into those patterns here in the suburbs. In 2026, we're also going to have a very uncomfortable conversation about resilience and perseverance. Why is it going to be so uncomfortable? It's going to be so uncomfortable because so many of the things that we associate with love, that we associate with compassion, are actually doing harm and are making it harder, especially for the generations coming up, making it harder for them to develop resilience and perseverance. And it's leading to, directly contributing to, the record amounts of anxiety, depression, and just inability to respond to the pressures of life like our nation has never seen before. All right, not long after that, we're going to do a series called When Evil Pulls the Trigger. We continue to see mass shootings, and now we're seeing an increase in assassinations. And we've already proven that yelling at one another does not help. What positive, concrete steps forward have we taken since our Minnesota lawmakers were assassinated, since Charlie Kirk was assassinated, since those school shootings at Ascension Catholic School? What have we actually seen as far as progress? I would argue little or nothing. You can actually make a strong case that the narrative defending and the finger pointing, the blaming, it's making things worse. So what we're going to do is we're putting that on the calendar right now. And we're going to take about a year to say, what can we learn? What actually is helping? For example, they had a door locked at Ascension. That locked door saved lives. What else could actually make a real difference? And how can we build bridges instead of pushing away all of those things? That's what we're going to do in that series, When Evil Pulls the Trigger. Now, it would be a lot easier to just duck the hard stuff. But God's called us to something more, and we can't come down. All right, this is also true when it comes to our retreats. It would be easier to throttle back. As much as we love it, it'd be a lot easier to throttle back when it comes to our retreats. The headwinds are strong. Why do I say that? I say that because there are so many reasons why when Emmanuel started back in 2007, the camp was full. So many youth groups were coming that there wasn't even space for us to do something there. So many youth groups. Now, I don't know of other individual youth groups that are doing the retreats on their own. In fact, there was a coalition of youth pastors called One Life. They tried to do camps together. That group no longer exists. This is because it's really, really hard. And there's some really strong headwinds. Well, God has been raising us up for such a time as this. Just as we were getting big enough to be able to say, hey, can we rent some space? Spaces were opening up. Just as we outgrew the largest of the spaces they had to meet, the new worship center opened up. And other churches now are looking for us to lead the way. Covenant Pines, in fact, is asking for our help with their high school fall retreat. Not only is this going to be hard work, but I was talking to Emma about this when we were prepping for this message. I know what's going to happen because I've seen it before. I know what's going to happen. Voices are going to pressure us to try to do the same things that caused those other retreats to fizzle out. There's going to be voices pressuring us to throttle back, to give in to the way they think things should be, but we're doing a good work, and we can't come down. In 2025, we said yes to leasing the space adjacent to this studio. Now comes the hard part, though, because our budget is now bigger. We still are working on trying to get permissions to begin the build-out. The build-out itself can't happen without plans, without priority setting, without team building, without fundraising. But God opened the door for us to be able to build something really, really special on the other side of this wall. And we can't come down. And then there's Juntos. When we said yes to Juntos, we thought the biggest challenges are going to be things like convincing people that there's a need for this. Convincing people bilingual is the way to go. Learning how to do worship services and then sync them up with the kids' ministry. That's what we thought was going to be the biggest challenge. Then came December. And members of the Emmanuel family facing deportation. We're trying to navigate a broken system. We're confronting narratives that are just turning potential allies into adversaries. And now, instead of just doing meals together like we were hoping for, that's happening, but now we're signing power of attorney documents. We are in this for real. We are in this for the long haul, and we're in this together. God is calling us to the most important work that we've done in the history of this church, and we're not coming down.
No, sir, we are not.
Here we go.
Church, wherever you're watching this, whatever you're doing, now is the time to hit pause on whatever that is and hear this, because today, we invite you to build with us. And there are four ways that we invite you to do that specifically. Number one is pray. We invite everyone to pray. And don't just say that you're going to pray. Actually do it. Set reminders on your phone. Keep a journal. How about a post-it on your bathroom mirror if that's what it takes. Whatever it takes to make you remember to do it. Pray in the good. Pray in the hard. Pray for those who need it. Pray for us as staff, because God knows we need it. And in every situation in between, there is no such thing as talking to God too much. So keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep praying for what the Lord has in store for this church family. The second way we invite you to build with us is to serve. We invite you to serve. We are often the answer to the prayers that we are praying. And there are some big prayers being prayed right now, and we're going to need big prayers going into the 2026 season. We can't do any of what we talked today on our own. Can't do any of that on our own. What the Lord has accomplished in 2025 and what the Lord dreams for 2026, we can't do any of that by ourselves. As you're praying for workers into the harvest, as you're praying for funding to fuel this mission, remember, you are God's workmanship. You are God's poema. You were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So go and do them in his name. Be a witness. Be Christ's ambassador for someone. Come and see the great works that God is doing, that he is accomplishing right here in this space. Come be a part of this great work, of this mission. Get connected with Katie and with Tessa, because there is a place for you in this ministry. Third way we invite you to build with us is to invest. This is a big one, and this pushes buttons, mm-hmm. and it's scary to talk about, but our funding fuels this mission. Mm-hmm. We've got some big hills to climb now, and we need to keep on going full steam ahead mm-hmm. with everything that is going. We need Amon Retreats. We need it to help our friends in Juarez build a new school where it's safe for their kids. We need it to help expand the studio and make it beautiful. We need it for all the help that we can get in Juntos and so, so much more. We invite you to build with us by doing what it says in the invitation. Invite. Mm-hmm. Invite people here. One of the best ways that we can be Christ's witnesses is to invite people to come and see. In so many conversations about the state of the world right now, I'm hearing so many people say, and my church isn't doing anything. Or the church isn't doing anything. The church should be doing more. The church doesn't talk about it. Or they ask, what can I do in this state that we are in? And I'm able to say, come and see, because we are doing it. We are doing the Lord's work. Invite people into this great work that we are building together. God is building something special, and we can't come down.
That's right.
We're not settling for playing church because we can't come down. We're going to continue to be all in on the next generation because we can't come down. We're gearing up for the long haul with Juntos because we can't come down. We're going to continually celebrate and encourage those in all generations saying yes to Jesus, bringing their kids forward to be baptized or dedicated, and whatever walk of life, if you are saying yes to Jesus, we're going to celebrate that because we can't come down. We're going to keep praying, keep serving, keep investing, and keep inviting because God is building something special, and we can't come down. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray as we seal this time, this year, with a song. Lord God, thank you for the guidance that you have brought us here with this year. Thank you for everything that you have accomplished through Emmanuel. Thank you that we're filling the hole that would be left if we were not here. Thank you for everyone who has stepped up to invest, to serve, to be a part of this great work that you're doing. Thank you for everyone who has joined in that I said yes wall this year. And for all of those that we don't know about, that aren't on the wall, but that we're able to celebrate with and that we're able to spend eternity with because people are making decisions this year to follow you. We pray that as we go into this time of worship, we're able to make this song our anthem as we go into 2026. Pray that you would fill each and every one of us with the resolve and the confirmation that you are doing a great work, and we can't come down from it. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen.
Amen.